ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to continue to discuss the disparate reaction from the British government over the murder of Henry Novak versus other major events in the recent past. And this, of course, is all part and parcel in the ongoing genocide of the European people that the elite there are just absolutely desperate to keep going no matter what. No matter what it takes, they're going to continue to import immigrants and cover up their crimes. It's just that's what the purpose of their life is now. Friend of the show, I can't remember, what does he go by? Raw Egg Nationalist, Charles Corningdale, a.k.a. Baby Gravy 9 on X, wrote an article for The Spectator about this. We can look into the article a little bit, but here is Raw Egg Nationalist himself at Baby Gravy 9 on X talking about his latest for The Spectator about the quote-unquote great replacement. Let's watch.
Well, there's a first time for everything, and this is my first video reaction to one of my own articles. This piece is in The Spectator in the UK, and it's about France's changing demographics and the left-wing, far-left attempt to appropriate and reclaim the term the Great Replacement. Now, as we know, that term is probably one of the most controversial political terms in the world for the best part of 15, 16 years since it was coined by the French intellectual Renaud Camus in 2010. It's been vehemently denied that the Great Replacement is taking place. It's a far-right conspiracy theory. It's driving extremism and violence. There's no truth to it. Well, guess what? Now the French left, led largely by Jean-Luc Mélenchon of France Insoumise, France Unbowed, which is an interesting name, I think, for a left-wing party, have said, no, actually, you know what? The Great Replacement is happening, and it's a good thing, and it's inevitable, and there's nothing you can do about it. So there's a new study that's just been published by France's premier research institute. I forget the name of it. It eludes me at this present moment. But anyway, they've showed that 34% of the French population now is either an immigrant or from a recent immigrant background, so child or grandchild of immigrants. So a full third of the French population, at least, is now of an immigrant background. It's difficult in France to quantify the effects of immigration because the constitution forbids the collection of ethnic and racial statistics. So although it's been obvious, you know, that demographic change is taking place as rapidly in France as anywhere else in Europe or the Western world for that matter, it's been very hard to quantify it because of what's often actually criticised as a deliberate blindness on the part of the government. Well, now we know. It's one-third of the French population.
One-third of the French population is now foreign-born or from immediately, you know, foreign parentage. And again, this is something that they've tried to cover up for a very long time. The article can be found at The Spectator. France's Hidden Immigration Reality, Charles Cornish Dale. He quotes Renaud Camus, France's most controversial living intellectual, when he says, a people was there, stable, occupying the same territory for 15 or 20 centuries, and suddenly, very quickly, in one or two generations, one or more other peoples substituted themselves for it. It is replaced. It is no longer itself. But I want to remind you, you know, while the term Great Replacement has caught on and become the term people are using for it, I prefer the term replacement migration because that's the official term in the UN white paper laying out how this was the plan the entire time, right? If you search Great Replacement, you'll get a bunch of articles about people, you know, trying to discredit it. Search replacement migration, you get the UN white paper from like 2000 that says, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're replacing the population. Of course, it's been on purpose. Of course, it's racialized. And of course, it's all about control. They want to substitute the hard-to-control Europeans with the easier-to-control third worlders. That really is it. That's it.
Alex, thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. We still have a lot to cover today. We're going to get into what the heck is going on in Albania with the Kushners and the Trumps and the Soroses, for that matter. We'll get into how they're all intertwined. We've got some pretty incredible stories about the SPLC, some results of elections in places like L.A. where Spencer Pratt is looking pretty good against Karen Bass. But I want to stick for a minute to what's going on in the UK to try to illustrate to people just how thorough the two-tier system is, like just how all-encompassing this is and just how outrageous the disparity truly is. So I've got some statements from Keir Starmer about what's happened to Henry Novak. And I also have a bunch of videos and a bunch of statements from Keir Starmer about other instances in the past. We're going to do a little compare and contrast, okay? And we'll start with this post from Sam Ashworth Hayes. And he posts, of course, Keir Starmer's tweet from June 2020, so exactly 6 years ago. He said, "Today at 11 a.m., Parliament held a minute silence in memory of George Floyd. He must not become just another name. His death must be a catalyst for change. The Labour Party stands with those opposing racism and oppression in the UK and across the world." Sam Ashworth Hayes responds, pointing out the policies and attitudes that led police officers to handcuff a dying man because his killer shouted racist is a completely legitimate response if you want those policies and attitudes to change. We all have a stake in this. But that presupposes a conversation being held in good faith, rather than a government attempting to divert attention from an unpleasant reality. All that distinguishes a case which, quote, must be a catalyst for change from a case where politicians are, quote, exploiting this tragedy to create grievance and division is how difficult the results are for Keir Starmer's worldview to process. I think that's extremely well put. All that distinguishes a case from one which must be a catalyst for change from a case where politicians are exploiting this tragedy to create grievance and division is how difficult the results are for Keir Starmer's worldview to process. I think that's exactly accurate. And again, it shows the absurdity of people who, again, compare George Floyd to Henry Novak. George Floyd had nothing to do with the UK in any possible way. His death wasn't caused by the UK. The laws they have there aren't the same as the ones we have here. Like, it's just totally unrelated to anything to do with the UK. But Keir Starmer believes it must be a catalyst for change in the UK. Meanwhile, Henry Novak, whose life was lost, that murder is directly attributable to the policies that the Labour government puts in place and the policies that actually came about after George Floyd's death and the resulting chaos. But if you try to bring that up, then, you know, you're the one causing grievance and division. I don't know why I have to explain. I don't know why this isn't obvious to absolutely everybody. I really don't. But I'm going to explain it to the slow ones in the back. So this is the way that Keir Starmer responded to Henry Novak. And I'll give him his due. I'll show you what he says about it. All right, let's go to clip 38 first. Henry Novak's family, Keir Starmer says, has lost their son and brother in the most appalling circumstances. And now that evil Nigel Farage is trying to create grievance and division over it. You know, we could have just, hey, a guy gets murdered. It's fine. That's not a problem. But if you start complaining about it, you know, now we're going to have an issue. Let's watch clip 38 now.
Evening family have asked us not to respond in the way that the leader of reform has responded. They've asked us not to. They have lost their son in the most appalling circumstance. They make a simple plea of us as human beings to please not exploit that. That is their plea to us. We all need to reflect on those words of Henry's father. My response, and the response of others, to be fair, has been focused on the lessons to be learned so we can deliver justice. His response has been to appeal for rage. Rage. That's his response to a father who's lost his son and asked for that not to happen. Exploiting this tragedy to create grievance and division would be wrong in any circumstances, but to do it when the family are expressly saying, please don't, is unforgivable. It shows exactly who he is.
It's unforgivable, he says. And go to clip 45. I mean, he makes this point over and over again. Two-tier Kier finally spoken about Henry Novak. This is from Tommy Robinson. He says, is he condemning the police or the disgusting lying family of Digwa? Of course not. He takes a swipe at Farage for whipping up Hadrian. Let's go now to clip number 45.
I think Nigel Farage's reaction is the wrong reaction. And I start my answer to your question through the eyes of the family. They have said they do not want this whipped up. They have been through the most extraordinary, awful experience. They don't want this whipped up. And Nigel Farage is completely wrong to use this to try and create division. He would be wrong in any circumstances. But when Henry's family are saying, please don't do that, it's our son, then really, as politicians, as human beings, we should start where they start. And that's where I start. And why?
So again, the family is pressured to put out this statement, and then it's, you know, used to try to demonize everybody else. Again, you know what this reminds me of, to be honest with you, is Sandy Hook. What it reminds me of is Sandy Hook. No. The person to blame is the murderer. The person who did the bad thing is the murderer. But you're now going to turn around and say, you're hurting the families more than the murder? More than the murderer, because you want to try to actually have solutions for what's going on? Yeah, the reason the family is devastated because of the murder that occurred. And the murder occurred because of, in one part, the immigration system in the UK, for the second part, in the two-tier system, which, again, you say you don't have a two-tier system. Why are Sikhs alone allowed to carry 8-inch knives around with them? Like, what do you mean there's no multiple tiers? There obviously is a whole variety of tiers for a variety of different aspects of life. Completely absurd and ridiculous. But not exactly surprising. So that's basically his take. That's basically Keir Starmer's take is, yeah, this was awful, but, you know, like, don't talk about it. I mean, don't make a big deal out of it. Certainly don't expect any change to come from it. Don't expect the, you know, government to do anything differently as a consequence of this. Certainly we are not expressing support for the people who are showing outrage about this. Again, he says, and I mean, you can just hear the sincerity through the screen, I think. This is an awful, awful, shocking case, he says. Henry's loved ones have gone through the trauma of a long trial and endured Henry's killer making up appalling claims about their son who was thoughtful, kind, and deeply loved. It's right that the IOPC is investigating the police's response to this senseless murder, and we must end the cycle of tragedy by tackling the horror of knife crime. You know, those dang criminal knives out there. Henry's family, friends, and his university in the city of Southampton will continue to feel his loss, and our thoughts will be with them. Well, I bet they're comforted by that, the thoughts, the various thoughts that you're sending towards them. So nice. Now let's look at something where Keir Starmer actually cares about this stuff. Now let's look at something where Keir Starmer actually cares about the people affected and is actually concerned about what's going on. Clip 39. This was Keir Starmer almost in tears over Islamophobia With his statements, he contributed to fueling anti-white, anti-Christian hatred. He should spend the rest of his pointless life in prison. So this was after, I don't know, something, certainly not anything like Henry Novak. I mean, I can't think of an instance in the UK where a random, you know, Muslim guy was murdered out of nowhere by a racist white person. But whatever happened, I'm sure it was devastating to the Muslim community. I'm sure somebody put bacon on the ground outside of a mosque, and Keir Starmer is just horrified by all of it. Let's go to clip number 39 now.
We've seen a devastating rise in Islamophobia, leaving people feeling fearful and unsafe in their own country. I've heard firsthand of women wearing hijab who are too scared to travel by public transport, of Muslim families being abused as they leave the mosque. The surge in Islamophobia is simply appalling. Muslim women and girls disproportionately targeted, mosques forced to ramp up security, and British Muslims questioned as if they are terrorists. I do not want Britain to be a place where British Muslims are not able to be their whole selves, where they feel they must hide or tone down who they are for fear of being attached to views that are not their own, where they're asked to apologise for the actions of people who do not act in their name. Our Britain is one where the enormous contributions of British Muslims are recognised and celebrated, their stories heard, their lives free from discrimination. As leader of the Labour Party, I am indebted to the contributions of Muslim members, activists and politicians who make our party what it is today. I'd like to thank Muslim organisations and mosques who work tirelessly to raise awareness and shine a light on the scale of Islamophobia.
See, when Muslims complain, it's shining a light. It's bringing awareness. When white people complain, it's rabble-rousing. It's causing division. I mean, could it be any more egregious? Could he speak with more submission and love of a foreign group of people and more disdain of his own people? I mean, that entire statement, chock full of division, chock full of identity, politics, right? All stuff that he resolutely and angrily rejects when it comes to British people, his own ethnic group, but that he embraces wholeheartedly and understands completely when it comes to the Muslims. It's not that complicated, folks. Of course, when George Floyd died, the middle-aged career criminal in America who overdosed on fentanyl, he didn't feel it was causing division or politicizing anything to take a knee. And of course, this was retweeted with his quote, "It's important that this incident isn't exploited for anybody's political agenda." I mean, not the George Floyd incident, obviously. That is to be exploited for the political agenda. That's exactly what it's for, even though it has literally nothing to do with British politics at all. Remotely, totally unrelated, it will be politicized in Britain. Meanwhile, the attack on the white guy, that's directly the consequence of British policies. That can't be politicized. Okay, are we understanding? Are we getting it? And of course, when not just the US, but the UK burned during the George Floyd riots, Starmer was there saying, "Like you, I was shocked and angered." And you should be shocked and angered, and you're right to go protest. Once again, just flagrant, outrageous difference between two actually very different circumstances. Again, just it's not just inequality, it's disequality. It is beyond description. And obviously, it's not just him either. Sadiq Khan, mayor of London, on the 31st of May, 2020, says, "The death of George Floyd has rightly ignited fury and anguish, not just in the United States, but around the world. No country, city, police force, or institution can be complacent about racism and the impact this has." And of course, it's Sadiq Khan condemning Nigel Farage for daring to say that the killing of Novak inspired rage. But, you know, the killing of George Floyd ignites fury, which is good. If you're igniting fury, it's good. If you're inspiring rage, you're evil, right? I'm just pointing out these people just genuinely, they don't care about anything that they're saying. This is all just, they just don't like white people. It's not that complicated. Shabana Mahmood, member of parliament in the UK, said something very similar, right? She was also condemning Farage for his inflammatory statements. But she said, many constituents have been in touch with me regarding protests across the United States about the murder of George Floyd. I share their anger at this unspeakable outrage. You can read my letter to constituents here. So again, something happens totally unrelated to the UK. Guy overdoses in police custody in Minneapolis, and they are outraged. They're infuriated. They're making changes. They're altering their system to deal with this problem. But not Henry Novak, obviously. This is from, you know, just this is all having to do with George Floyd, right? Two-tier Kier, hypocrisy exposed, full rage for Floyd, zero outrage for Henry Novak. I guess this is clip number 41. Let's go to clip number 41 here. This is two-tier Kier. Let's watch.
The last week has shone a spotlight on the racism, discrimination, and injustice experienced by those from black and minority ethnic communities in the US, in the UK, and across the world. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That's why today I've written to the Prime Minister asking for his assurance that the British government is doing all that it can to urge President Trump to respect human rights and the fundamental democratic right to peaceful protest. And this week, Labour has called on the UK government to ensure that our exports are not being used in the suppression of democratic rights in the US. But we must also reflect on the injustices in our own country. We must address the reality and the impact of anti-black racism, which has been highlighted by the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, more than ever, it's incumbent upon us all to ensure that this is a turning point. We must face up to and understand and address the systemic racial discrimination that exists in our own communities. The Labour Party stands with black communities in our country and across the world because black lives matter.
So that was Keir Starmer in 2020, quoting Martin Luther King Jr., outraged, infuriated, politicizing the event, because it goes along with what he already believes. As Jay Stewart says on X, Keir Starmer's furious reaction to Floyd contrasted with his pathetic response to Henry Novak's death. Look at Keir Starmer in 2020, shamelessly kneeling and grandstanding over George Floyd, a drug-addicted repeat criminal who died of a fentanyl overdose after resisting arrest. He declared Floyd's death shone a spotlight on the racism, discrimination, and injustice experienced by those from black and minority ethnic communities in the U.S., the U.K., and across the world. He said, quote, we must also reflect on our own injustices in our own country. Now, more than ever, it's incumbent on us to ensure that this is a turning point. We must face up to it and understand and address the systemic racial discrimination that exists. The Labour Party stands with the black community in our country and across the world because black lives matter. What the F was he talking about? There was never any evidence George Floyd's death was about racism, yet Starmer spread this dangerous misinformation and pushed the BLM agenda hard. Fast forward to Henry Novak, an innocent 18-year-old British student stabbed to death. As he lay bleeding, his killer falsely cried racism, and police, terrified of race complaints after years of this toxic training, handcuffed the dying boy instead of saving him. Henry begged for help and died without dignity. Where was Starmer's outrage? Outrage. The same man who made Floyd a martyr now offers weak platitudes and says he felt sick. No kneeling, no grand speeches, no White Lives Matter, no chance he would ever say that. You can draw a straight line from Keir Starmer's 2020 hysteria and Black Lives Matter worship through the race-obsessed policing rules he championed straight to the appalling treatment of Henry Novak. He helped create this climate. Then he became prime minister with the power to implement his dangerous ideas, and he did exactly that. Policing is now paralyzed by fear of racism accusations while British kids pay with their lives. This is a national scandal. Keir Starmer owns this disaster. What a spineless two-tier hypocrite, a complete and utter disgrace to Britain. But we don't have to go back to 2020. We don't have to go back to 2024. We can go 2 months back. Exactly one month ago, there was an attack at Golders Green. The thing is, it wasn't a racist attack. It didn't have any elements of racism really there. In fact, it was seemingly a totally random stabbing in which a Muslim was stabbed first, followed by two Jewish guys got stabbed. None of them died, but they did receive wounds. from the Middle East Eye, Golders Green attack. A Muslim was also stabbed. Not that you'd know. Ishmael Hussein, a Muslim man, was stabbed in London last Wednesday. His alleged assailant has now been apprehended and charged with attempted murder. But you wouldn't necessarily know that if you read the headlines, watch the breaking news reports, or listen to the opinions of the commentariat and the political class. That's because the accused, Essa Suleiman, was the same man charged with stabbing two Jewish men later that day in the city's Golders Green area, home to a large Jewish population. So basically, there are headlines that are like, two Jewish men stabbed. And it's like, well, and a Muslim guy. But they wanted to portray it as a racial attack, even though there wasn't evidence that that was the case. And this was the way Keir Starmer reacted to that. We can go to clip number 43 now. So again, Henry Novak dies in a racially motivated, racially tainted attack where police accuse him of being a racist, you know, handcuff him as he lays dying. He does die from it. And Keir Starmer's response is basically, shut up. You're not allowed to politicize this. You can't do anything about this. And even the hint of the suggestion that we should do something, you know, systemically to deal with the consequences of all this stuff is outrageous. And you're the bad one for making that statement. Meanwhile, two Jewish guys get randomly stabbed, don't die. And this is Keir Starmer's response.
Just held a COBRA meeting, bringing together all the relevant partners, including the Home Secretary, the London Mayor, the Metropolitan Commissioner, to coordinate our response and to look at enhanced security. I've also spoken to CST. There is enhanced funding already in place. We need to increase that to give the level of protection that is needed. But of course, it's our responsibility to coordinate the immediate response here to this appalling attack, to ensure security is in place, to take other measures. I'm holding a meeting tomorrow with the criminal justice agencies to make sure that we can have effective and swift justice in these cases. But we do have to recognise the levels of anxiety and concern there are that I know about in terms of the Jewish community feeling very much exposed and vulnerable, feeling they've got to hide their identity, sometimes in the health service, sometimes at school, on the streets where they live. And it's our job to make sure that they feel safe and secure. It's our job to make sure that we absolutely deal with the roots of anti-Semitism and extremism. That is what we will do.
So again, it's not just, you know, different, you know, a different approach here where it's a white person. It's, you know, literally everybody else gets his care and concern, empathy. He understands why they're scared. He wants to do things. He's giving them money to deal with it. You know, all of this stuff is not just necessary. You know, it's like incumbent on them to do it, and they would be sinning if they didn't. But then a white guy gets stabbed, and it's just like, well, too bad. I mean, I'm super sad. It's super sad. But like, how dare you suggest we do anything about it? How dare you? When there's a random stabbing, two Jews get sliced but not killed. It's all hands on deck. I've called an emergency COBRA meeting. We're releasing funds. We're listening to the community. We're doing everything we possibly can to ensure their safety in this trying time. Oh, a white guy got stabbed. Who cares? Who cares? He probably deserved it. He probably was racist, even if he didn't say it, right? You know, I don't know what else to tell you, but like, they hate you. Like, the people that run the UK hate the people of the UK and are destroying them. And like, that's it. That's just what's happening. You have to overthrow them. I'll tell you more on the other side. It just goes on and on.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there in the way of it. If you look at the number of countries that have had runaway inflation since World War II, you know, in my lifetime, it's very large. Once you create that, it becomes a different world. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like six or seven times. I mean, it's just amazing what people do. Not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So This is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything. And on the
banking system. And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed. So here's Prince Charles, the king, announcing the digital chains, the mark of the beast system, and a dovetail with Tony Blair, who's globally, through the UN and Bill Gates, standardized the world ID that the UK, under orders of the king, I thought he's just ceremonial, no, he could dissolve parliament anytime he wants, is now going into place. This all ties into everything. We'll talk to top economist, a great patriot, Peter Kirk Kelly, in a moment about it, but here's the clips.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Tell us a bit about what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
The first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
What they do is Oracle make big donations to Tony Blair's Institute, and Tony Blair's Institute advocates for further advantages for Oracle and Oracle affiliated entities. Listen, the centralization of data and the centralization of power is part of a dark and nefarious agenda.
People are really crazy if they don't call you. You're on record the biggest company because you have the best ratings, the best gold and silver prices. It is the smart move. Get a free consultation. They can roll over financial instruments.
This should be a happy time, right? So don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. There is a path to safety here financially, and that's what tangible assets do. This is what
God,
the numbers are telling us.
God always gives his people a way out, but the people perish always for lack of knowledge.
Always. He always does. He's never going to say something, even if it's the mark of the beast. When he talks about it in Revelation, he's not going to say something unless we have a choice to either accept or reject, because he didn't create robots.
KEPM.com/gold. Sign up for the email there to get a free consultation. Call you right back. Or you can call the number 720-605-3000. The smartest investment you can have made in the last 3 years. I'm telling you right now, this is the place to go. 720-605-3000.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Head up, Oats!
All right, folks, we are going to move on. I promise we're going to move on. I got to show you the level of response that Keir Starmer had to the Golders Green attack compared to Henry Novak, okay? So I'm sorry if I'm repeating, but like, I really think you got to hammer this home. Just to illustrate the just cowardice of Keir Starmer, really, at the end of the day. So again, Henry Novak, clearly the consequence of police policy, police training, and the racism aspect is baked in because the murderer claimed he was racist, and that caused the police to ignore his cries for help, obviously, right? However, if you want to talk about changing policy to deal with this, if you want to talk about how this was the consequence of government policy and therefore it can be altered by government policy, then Keir Starmer will say that you're whipping up division. He'll accuse Nigel Farage of exploiting this situation to create grievance and division. He says it's completely unforgivable, totally unforgivable to do things like try to come up with some sort of policy change to mitigate the risk of such a horrifying thing happening in the future. Meanwhile, when two Jewish people were stabbed, not to death, but by a random Muslim dude who also stabbed a Muslim guy. This was Keir Starmer's response. So come to a dot cam for me. This was 1 month ago. 1 month ago, two Jewish people were lightly stabbed, and this was his response. First, an 18-minute live stream conference dedicated to talking about it. Then you had, and these are clips from the attack. We can go to clip number, or from the press conference. We can go to clip 42 here, where he says this was a vile terrorist attack that attacked Jews because they're Jews. Oh, I guess he's not causing division with this. I guess he's not exploiting grievance with this. I guess this isn't, you know, taking advantage of the situation to politicize it. This is normal. This is reasonable. This is, you know, the adults in the room, I guess, when it's Jews. Let's watch.
Good evening. Earlier today on Yom Kippur, the holiest day for the Jewish community, a vile individual committed a terrorist attack that attacked Jews because they are Jews and attacked Britain because of our values. So many Jewish families first came to this country as a place of refuge, fleeing the greatest evil ever inflicted on a people. And Britain welcomed them. Communities like the one attacked in Manchester provided safety, but also the security that comes from a promise that this is a country that stands up to hatred and that we don't just provide refuge, we provide a home. For so many Jewish families, that is the story of Britain. But Britain is also
we can go ahead and take it down. But like, do you hear the attitude? Do you hear the passion, the feeling? We will do everything we possibly can to protect you. This is a failure of our entire system. Really, because a white kid just got stabbed because he's white by a radical minority who accused him of being racist. Keir Starmer's just like, okay, and? So what? What are you, a white supremacist? So, following a very minor attack against some random Jewish people, he gives an 18-minute speech where he says it was a vile terrorist attack that attacked Jews because they're Jews. Anti-Semitism is a hatred that's rising once again. Britain must defeat it once again. To every Jewish person in this country, I promise I will do everything in my power to guarantee you the security you deserve. Like, how crazy would it be to hear him say that about white people? How crazy would it be to hear Keir Starmer say to every white person in this country, I promise to do everything in my power to guarantee you the security you deserve. You don't deserve it. That's the issue. The Jews do. When there's an Islamophobic attack, he is practically in tears, crying about the vile hatred from the evil whites. I'm deeply concerned. Again, this is back 1 month ago, April 29th, 2026. The Golders Green random stabbing. I'm deeply concerned about the terrorist attack that took place today. This is not an isolated incident. It's the latest in a spat of utterly vile attacks on the Jewish community. I've just chaired an emergency COBRA meeting, and tomorrow I'll be bringing together criminal justice agencies to ensure we have effective and swift justice. Right? No holds barred. No claim too great. They will do everything in their power to protect the precious Jewish people. White people can get stuffed. Again, like, he just goes on and on. These are all tweets from Keir Starmer from that one event. Remember, the only tweets about Henry Novak are him going, yeah, it's sad, but, you know, Nigel Farage needs to shut up. Okay, yes, we're all very sad about Henry Novak. The last thing we should do is do anything about what led to his murder. We shouldn't even investigate it, really. Flashback 1 month ago, yesterday's terrorist attack was not an isolated incident. It was the latest attack on the Jewish community for being Jewish. Yesterday, I spoke with volunteers, first responders from Shamrim, which is the private Jewish police force they're allowed to have with poorly trained officers running around with guns because, hey, if you're Sikh, you get to carry around a knife. If you're Jewish, you get to have a private militias protect you. And, Keir Starmer is there meeting with them to guarantee they have everything they could possibly need, which means tens of millions of dollars. And Hatzolah, to thank them for their bravery. I know that this is a deeply worrying time for the whole community. My government is taking immediate action. We've increased enhanced funding for police patrols and protective security, and we're fast-tracking legislation to deal with malign state actors. My message to Jewish people is this. You belong here, and we will do everything we can to keep you safe. if you've seen a little bit of a difference, a little bit of a difference between one identity group and another. I don't know if Keir Starmer's being married to a Jewish woman has anything to do with it, but he certainly cares a hell of a lot more. We're not done. He continued, the anti-Semitic attack on Golders Green is utterly appalling. Attacks on our Jewish community are attacks on Britain. Thank you, Shamrin, Hatzola, and the police for acting swiftly. Those responsible will be brought to justice. The recent attacks targeting Jewish communities are appalling. We're working closely with the police, security services, and CST to bring Jewish communities, disrupt extremist threats, and bring those responsible to justice. We must defeat the poison of anti-Semitism. The Britain I want is a Britain where people can practice their religion, their faith, in security and safety. Again, it's like, are you kidding me? It goes on. And this is where it gets real crazy. This is where it gets actually like nuts, okay? He starts writing articles about how we have to, you know, have a political response to this attack. And again, a much, much more minor attack, an attack that really had nothing to do with the identity of the Jews. Like, it was a random attack. The dude stabbed a Muslim. He stabbed two Jews. He was like an insane person that, by the way, had been on some sort of like terror watch list in the UK for a long time. They let him out to go do this. Regardless, we won't relent in our fight against anti-Semitism and terror. Any perpetrators will feel the full force of the law. Seven arrests after planned arson on Jewish community in London. So this actually was following the, like, you know, the stabbing in the Golders Green community. There were like multiple instances where there was like a fire at a house next door to a synagogue, and the BBC and British media were running like four or five of these stories of like the attacks continue, and none of them were actually attacks. None of them were arson. None of them, it didn't exist. But they took random events like a fire near a synagogue to run headlines. Fire near synagogue, you know, exposes rash of anti-Semitic violence. He goes on, I'm appalled by the recent anti-Semitic arson attacks in North London. This is abhorrent and must not be tolerated. Attacks on our Jewish community are attacks on Britain. We are increasing visible policing, and those responsible will be found and brought to justice. We will not rest in the pursuit of perpetrators. He goes on, we must build a stronger country. If we are to build a fairer country, that is the mission of my government and the promise of change that we will deliver. So this was a op-ed he wrote for The Observer following the attack on Golders Green about how we needed systematic change to deal with the problem of anti-Semitic violence. But if you call out anti-white violence, you're the bad guy. Get a load of this, folks. This is from his op-ed in The Observer following the attacks on Golders Green. He says this, quote, we have a choice. We could sink into the politics of grievance and division, or we could rise to this moment together in a national effort that matches the scale and the threats of the turbulence that we face. Do you understand what he's saying? This man is saying that if you call for political change as a consequence of the Henry Novak murder, you are causing division and taking advantage of grief. If, however, you call for systematic change as a consequence of Jewish people being attacked, opposing the change makes you guilty of causing division and taking advantage of grievance. Do you understand what I just said? Like, he literally makes the argument that not politicizing the attack, not bringing identity into it, not, you know, pouring out extra concern for the Jewish community because the Jewish people were attacked. If you don't do that, you're causing division and grievance. If you do exactly the same thing for white people, now you're the one causing grievance. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then he wrote another, and then he has a personal Substack where he wrote articles. Facing the challenge of this moment, there are moments in history that shape our future for generations where we have to decide who we are as a country. This is one of those moments. Again, two Jewish guys get poked with a knife, and this is his response. Every single one of these, it goes on and on and on. He's writing op-eds. He's writing articles. He's changing laws. He's accusing you of being the one causing division if you don't want to change the laws. It goes on and on and on. Henry Novak gets killed. It's directly attributable to the government policies and the racism that Keir Starmer himself promotes. and it's shut up, you're causing division and grief by talking about it. So hopefully it's clear now. Hopefully I've made the case that Keir Starmer just literally hates white people and will pour out endless empathy and concern for literally everybody else. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if the attack is real. Doesn't matter if it's actually racialized. Doesn't matter if it actually has political implications. He will politicize it. He will racialize it. He will take advantage of it. He will cry crocodile tears. And he will swear and pledge the pole of the British government in support of those people as long as they're Muslim or Jewish or Sikh or Hindu or just not white. As long as they're not white, he is at your beck and call. If it's Henry Novak, you're going to go to jail for talking about it. So I don't know what else there is to say. Let's go to clip 44 here. This is a woman being interviewed by GB News about how it feels to be a English woman with the current state of the British police. Let's watch.
You've come down to protest today. What is it that brought you down here?
Because in my opinion, I feel that the police are now so racist towards anyone white or English or anyone who even looks like me. I would never dare speak to them to report crime. I would not email them or phone them. I do not trust them not to be racist towards me. And at a residence meeting on Thursday, I was not able to come here last Thursday because I went to a residence police meeting. I told the police straight, I will never report crime to you. I will never speak to a police person alone. I do not trust you. You are racist towards the English and white people. And we will not stand for it.
Now, I think she's exactly right. It's very sad that that's the case. At the end of the day, I genuinely think it's just because white people don't do anything. We don't do anything. Like, I don't think they actually love Muslim people. I don't think they actually hate white people. I think that they know that if they're racist to a Muslim person, then they're going to lose their job because the Muslim interest group are going to hound the people. They're going to have it on the media. They're going to get sympathetic ears. They're going to make a big deal out of it. They're going to ruin your job. Like, as police, they're sitting there going, dang, if I do something wrong, that community is going to come after me. I better not mess with them. The white people, they know. They know they can screw you. They know they can throw you in jail over a tweet. They know they can abuse you or let you bleed out to death while calling you a racist, and they know that they're not going to suffer the consequences, any consequences whatsoever. I think that's why. I really don't think the British police are running around going, we love Muslims. They're just scared of Muslims. They're not scared of white people. They are scared of Muslims. I think that's it. I don't think it's that, like, much more complicated. And I think it's because, honestly, the British people have allowed themselves to be, you know, picked off one by one. The other communities don't do that. They come together and they use collective power to make demands and they get results. The white people have been trained not to do that. And the power structure knows that. And they know they can abuse white people and the other white people will go along with it. Which we could go on and on about that too. We're going to move on now. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. It is your last week to be entered to win both the Hummer H1 custom vehicle, just very cool H1 Hummer, sort of a classic style, not like the new Hummers, or the 2026 Dodge Charger plus $20,000 in cash. Every dollar you spend this week, it's 100 times entries to both. And almost everybody who's won a car, and there have been a lot of people who have won cars from thealexjonesstore.com and $10,000 cash, they almost all win them in this last crossover week because you're getting so many more entries this week. So you can be entered to win both with any purchase. Plus, you're getting free shipping at $99, free CMOS capsules if you spend $125. If you spend $175 at thealexjonesstore.com, you get free Shilajit capsules on top of all of those. And of course, our products are the best of the best. And you will experience the difference if you give them a try. Thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Now, we'd been hearing about a protest in Frisco, Texas, by a Muslim guy. It was an anti-white rally that he wanted to hold. He said anti-redneck, but we all know what that means. He just hates white people. His name was Zul Muhammad, and it didn't go very well for him. It didn't turn out like he thought it would. We'll go to some of these. Let's just go to clip 53 here. This is Zul Muhammad, a Carrollton resident, who, by the way, is currently like facing a bunch of charges. I'll find the charges that he's facing here in just a second. But yeah, his anti-white rally in Frisco, Texas, didn't turn out the way that he thought it would. Let's watch.
But I think yes, they did a pretty good job here.
I support a woman's right to abortion.
So I don't think anybody should be regulated on that. That's
not regulated at all?
We'll explain about regulation later.
Okay, like at what point? At one point in the pregnancy, is it okay to abort?
What are they doing right now? Well, what was it previous to Roe versus Wade?
I'm asking you that. I'm not asking you what the question is right now.
It's probably 6 weeks from what I know.
Why?
I'm not a doctor. Even if it was later than that, if you got something growing in your body and you don't want it there, I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for abortion.
You don't think it's a baby? At what point is it a baby?
Hold on. Even if it was later on,
what is it then?
It doesn't really bother me.
All right, so that's him arguing about abortion. But you see, he's just completely surrounded by rednecks. Oh, what do you know? You're surrounded by rednecks. Let's go to clip 57 here. This is the moment that Zul Muhammad showed up to his own anti-redneck rally to find he was the only one there on his side. Let's watch clip 57 here. Not very fit. So he's the guy yelling in the middle there. You know, being approached by all these people. Yeah, how'd that show of force turn out for you? How'd that work out for you, buddy? Yeah, didn't go perhaps the way that he thought it would. Let's go to clip number 54 here. I believe this is Nikki Rudd at Nikki Rudd X on X. I believe that's 54 here. Here's his coverage.
So here we are, guys, at what was supposed to be the anti-Indian immigration into Frisco protest, but now you can see it's devolved into a pressure cooker of Muslims protest, okay? They're all, like, surrounding one guy all by himself in there. How is this productive? What are we doing here? Is this going to actually, like, stop Indian immigration that's taking over Frisco? Or is this actually just giving fire to the fuel of all of our enemies and making us look stupid? I would say that's probably what it's doing. Let's be smart about what we say. Let's be strategic. Let's use the political power we have to pressure those who hold government office and make them bend the law to our will to save our state and to save our country. That should be the focus. That's what we're trying to do here at Rift TV going forward.
Okay, so I guess he's on Rift TV. Look, I agree with that. I don't agree with, you know, making threats against these people. Like, we is our home. Like, we have the right to deny these people, and we have an ability to do it politically, and that's what we have to do. However, we're not the ones that will organize this rally. This Zul Muhammad guy did. So, of course, it's right for Americans to show up and tell him to go F himself because he's a visitor to this country and making demands that he has no right to make. Let's go to this one. Zul Muhammad finally shows up to his anti-white rally and is faced off by patriots in Frisco, Texas. This looks like it'll be number 55 here. Let's go to 55. There you go. Yeah, his anti-redneck rally didn't really work out too well, did it? Yeah, it didn't really go the way that he thought it would. Oh, darn it. Oh, darn. He's getting in the face of everybody. Yeah, we need to see more of this. We need to see more pressure against these people. Who the hell do they think they are? This is from Sarah Fields at Sarah is Censored on X. And this is alleged, I guess. Zol Mohammed is a Carrollton resident who's currently facing multiple felony charges and is also a candidate for Carrollton mayor in the 2026 election. In 2024, Mohammed pled guilty to more than 100 felony counts related to mail-in ballot fraud scheme carried out during his failed 2020 Carrollton mayoral campaign. Yesterday, he decided to hold an anti-redneck rally at Frisco City Hall. The rally did not go well for him. Hundreds of redneck patriots showed up when he arrived completely alone with no visible support. Many of us confronted him about his views. During these conversations, he stated he does not support veterans, a bold statement considering that a large number of us there were veterans. He also said he wanted to dismantle the U.S. government and rebuild it while incorporating certain aspects of Sharia law. At one point, I confronted him on the topic of abortion, and that was the video that we saw earlier. When people tell you who they are, listen to them, ask your questions, and let them answer. They'll reveal exactly who they are. This man should not be in any elected position in America. He shouldn't be in America. He shouldn't be in America, and we are under no obligation to allow him to be in America. It's our country. It's our home. This is our house. He doesn't get to come in and tell us that we're the bad people in our house. He needs to go home. He needs to be sent home wherever that is, or needs to be sent somewhere. I don't even care if he's sent home. Somewhere that's not America. He doesn't belong here. Let's go to clip 56 here. Somebody showed up to the anti-redneck rally with a big box truck with TV screens displaying White Lives Matter and deport all illegals, deport all Indians. A patriot with a box truck. This is great to see. Let's watch. So there you see the White Lives Matter back there with Irina Zarutska, Austin Metcalf, Henry Novak, and Charlie Kirk. And these are the rednecks that showed up. That's cool. I like these guys. We strongly condemn the use of Indian flags at hateful rallies. Literally, all you have to do is show just like a modicum of respect for America. It's really not hard, and it's really offensive that most people, that's too far. It's too much to ask that they literally show just basic respect for our country, our way of life, our laws, and they just can't do it. They can't handle it. They can't bring themselves to simply try to live within the rules of the country that they've decided to move to. They've decided to move here. They've made the choice to become Americans. Only they have no interest in becoming Americans, no respect for Americans that live here. They literally see us as an economic zone to exploit, and they're fairly open about that. Anybody who's not like that, anybody that actually respects America, actually wants to become a citizen, actually understands and reveres our history and our foundational principles, we wouldn't have a problem with. But there's way too many people like this Zol Mohammed guy who thinks he has a right to come into our country and treat us like dirt. We should send him back where he came from. Or whatever.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me.
I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.